Just excited to be on. First time on Iman FM and heard good things about you guys. So, yeah, looking forward to this.
Jazakallah for your time. I know you're very, very busy today. First of all, I just wanted to find out from you, Reza, what made you become an activist? What triggered you?
Well, the thing is, I got involved in MPAC UK when I was actually just about to start university. I came across it in my local area. I live in Ilford, East London. And they were, you know, organising a workshop on how to tackle Islamophobia, you know, in the UK and around the world. And I went along to it, and I was just so impressed about, you know, by what I heard and the passion and the, you know, the genuine sincerity of the brothers and sisters involved in MPAC. That it, you know, for me, the Muslim Public Affairs Committee was the only way to go. And I've been involved since I was about the age of 18. Been in MPAC for 10 years now, 28. I know I look much older with my receding hairline, but I am 28. And
you're not the only one.
And yeah, and just I've just been involved since then, been involved in all elements of, you know, the campaigning work, working as a media spokesman for the organisation, and now actually heading up the organisation as well. And it's just been a fascinating adventure for the last 10 years, and actually being in a position to defend the community. I mean, things have gotten worse, but alhamdulillah, in a position to actually stand up for Muslims, you know, against a barrage of hate that we face.
Reza, I was going to ask you, like I said, as you mentioned, you went to university. So how did you actually, you know, what made you think, okay, this is what I want to be and this is what I want to get involved with MPAC?
Yeah.
What, was it actually an event, or were you just planning to get involved, or
was it a series of things that happened? For, like, leading up to the point when I was finishing my A-levels and starting university, I was just, like most young Muslims, I was becoming aware of just how much kind of anti-Muslim rhetoric there was in mainstream media outlets, you know, how politicians were talking about Islam. I mean, you know, I'm from that generation that, you know, I was in secondary school when 9/11 happened, and when we kind of saw the rise, you know, a further rise of Islamophobia. It had been there in the background anyway, but it really picked up since 9/11. And so I was just aware of my surroundings. And you know, about how Muslims were being treated in the media, and just, you know, physical attacks and what's happening in the Muslim world. And so I was looking to do something. And, I mean, if I didn't come across MPAC, Allah knows where I would have gone, what I would have done. You know, would I have been involved with a charity or something else? But for me, MPAC really was just the ideal environment, because it was a place where I could actually work on issues that are directly impacting us in the short term and the long term. And for me, the thing that really clinched it was actually listening to a talk by one of the brothers in MPAC, and he was talking about how really this is Allah's command, that is a duty. There is no excuse for any Muslim around this around the world to say why they will not stand up against injustice. And that really struck a chord with me, because I was beginning to understand my Islam better. You know how it is, you know, when you're a young kid, you don't really understand Islam. You've grown up in a Muslim household. And I was starting to make the conscious decision that I wanted to be a Muslim. And, you know, reading the Quran and reading it with the translation and understanding what, you know, Allah's words are, all these things, they were starting to have an impact on me. And when I heard that talk, it just got me at the right time, and it said, you know what, it's true. As a Muslim, I have no excuse. You know, I cannot, you know, run away from oppression, and I shouldn't run away from helping the oppressed. And that was it. And since then, I've never looked back, alhamdulillah.
Reza, you said you've been involved with MPAC for over 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen more people getting involved, not just with MPAC, but other organisations as well? You know, because obviously MPAC's not just the only one working
for the Muslim cause.
Have you seen it in other causes as well?
Oh, 100%. I've definitely seen a further politicisation of the Muslim community. A lot of young Muslims, you know, Muslims, but especially young Muslims, who are becoming aware of what's happening around them and wanting to do something. So yeah, I've seen a lot of people starting to do stuff. I mean, the thing is, Zahir, as a community, we've always done charity, which is, mashallah, it's fantastic, and God bless everyone that's involved in it. But charity work is like putting a plaster over a wound. The political work, in my mind, is the intelligent charity, because it means that there's never a wound in the first place. You know, like, charity makes sure that we look after the orphans. If you're politically active, then you make sure there are no orphans in the first place. So for me, they both go hand in hand. And I think what we're starting to see is a lot of Muslims, especially younger Muslims, saying that, you know what, we need to take more intelligent political action, because that would stop the need for charity in the first place. So I've seen a lot of Muslims being involved at university level, locally, even with some mosques, mashallah. They're finally, some of them are starting to get their act together and say, we need to do something about this stuff. And we're starting to see the landscape slowly changing. It needs, a lot more needs doing, don't get me wrong, But we are seeing more Muslims who are aware of what's happening. And I think a big part of that, Zahir, is because of social media. It's allowed them access to information that they wouldn't normally have access to. And it's made them say, I've got to do something and, you know, call out propaganda where I see it, you know, and speak the truth and tackle injustice. And I think we're really starting to see, especially with the younger generation, a brand new mindset that is, they're confidently Muslim, they're confidently British, but they will not tolerate any sort of oppression here or abroad.
Alhamdulillah, that's what Iman FM, that's our ethos, you know, for community cohesion and getting communities together. And that's what Iman FM gives this kind of platform, because obviously, as you know, other platforms, Muslim platforms or any mainstream UK platforms, they don't give you airtime or they don't give you the time to air your views. So what happens is it marginalizes youngsters who may have views like yourself, and they think, where can they go?
Yeah.
So have you seen that? Because obviously you worked in the media. You've been on TV, mainstream media and radio. Have you seen, other organizations giving actual airtime to Muslims to actually air views surrounding Muslims?
It's a difficult one to hear, because, I mean, like, it's true, like you're saying, Iman FM, one of the reasons why you have initiatives like Iman FM is because you really want to get the real community voice on. Often you get on the mainstream media, they'll wheel out some random guy and say, oh, he's a community leader. And then that's it, you know, he represents the entire Muslim community. And it's very disingenuous. It's not real sometimes. You know, and some of these organizations and people, they're just very much in the government's pocket. And they don't really say the critical, honest things that need saying. But yeah, I mean, I am starting to see, one thing I've definitely started to notice is in the mainstream media is that it's different independent Muslim voices aren't always given a say. There's, you know, you always have these one or two go-to Muslims who will give you the sound bites that you're looking for, that will say the crazy things. So, you know, the people like the Anjum Chowdhury's, then you've got the Quilliam kind of guys as well, the people that will, you know, they tell you what you want to hear, but it's not honest. It's not like the average Muslim on the street. You talk to the average Muslim on the street, you'll get thousands of different opinions, but also you'll get real opinions. It's real stuff, and I think that's where Iman FM and others, really, I think I've got to say, that's where you've got the upper hand, because people will tune into stuff like this because they say, well, actually, I'm talking to a real human being. I'm not going to get, you know, it's not like a sponsored ad kind of thing. It's from a massive major company who's telling Iman FM to say stuff. This is just genuine people. And I think people, they find that refreshing. They need that, especially in today's environment where there's a lot of propaganda from the mainstream media.
And the other thing is, Raza, how can people channel, you know, from your experience, how can not just youngsters, but obviously elders need to get involved and others in the community, how can people channel their emotions, channel their, opinions effectively, informatively, rather than just talking rhetoric and, you know, how can we channel that? What would be your advice from your work in the past 10 years?
The first thing what I'd say is that Muslims they need to read. They need to, read up on history, on what's happening in the world around us, and that is vital. Without that, you cannot move forward. So I think that's one thing that needs to happen. Secondly, the big part of it here is that we need to, as a community, we need to organize. Now, organization comes in different ways. That can be with your friends or your family or your local mosque or at university or with people in your workplace. But it's education and organization are the most vital things that we need to do. And thirdly, and this is the most vital thing I'd say from an Islamic perspective, is actually have some faith in God and have some trust in him that he'll guide you. You know, you've got to take the first step. I mean, I'm just a guy from Ilford, and the reality, all we've done is we've taken one step towards God, and Allah's blessed us with so many opportunities to stand up for the community, to actually defend Muslims that are oppressed here and abroad. And the thing is, that's what Muslims need to do. If I was to tell anything to your listeners today is read, organize, but the main thing is take that step, because if you take that step towards Allah, guaranteed you will not lose. You are guaranteed to win.
Alhamdulillah, very, very wise points there. Raza, I was going to touch on a few stories, if that's okay. Jazakallah,
yeah,
for giving us a background. And first story I wanted to talk about is, you know, you had a campaign recently because the government was, they were trying to bring in legislation against wanting to boycott certain goods from certain countries?
Yeah, so basically what it was is that it was some guidance from the government, which was that local bodies like councils, you know,